What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Toasty Podcast. My name is Sky, and today I'm going to be going over a little bit of Trumpism and what we can expect heading into the midterms surrounding that topic, of course. So let's get toasty. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Toasty Podcast. If you're looking for the number one politics, society, and culture podcast, you've come to the right place. Sky created the Toasty brand to empower independent thinkers such as himself to stand up for what they believe in. We call that staying toasty. If you support our work, please subscribe and tell others about our show. Conversations about Trump are still just as common as they were in the height of his presidency. I can talk to people all over, and they constantly talk about Trump, or they'll mention him at least in a conversation. Now, I won't say it's different than another president, say Obama. I mean, we still talk about him to this day, right? But I've said this before, Trump is one of those people that I would not get a beer with, but I certainly liked most of his policies, especially the way he handled himself with other world leaders. That's one of the biggest takeaways from the comparison of Biden and Trump that you can clearly see, clear as day. They're like a 180 difference in how they handle themselves with world leaders. I mean, so now you know what the difference is, right? Going forward, since we've had a back-to-back president that can tell you exactly what the difference is in handling themselves with foreign policy. So now you should know, especially my age group and my generation and the younger generations like Gen Z, we hadn't really had that big of a comparison. You know, the pendulum did not swing as fast as it does now. It's insane how fast people can be swayed, changing from left to right and right to left. I had a conversation with a stranger the other day, actually, about this very thing, and it became increasingly apparent that Trump lovers are not lost. People that believe the election was stolen haven't changed their opinion. You know, that's one of the funny things. And I don't necessarily agree or disagree with that. I don't know, because I haven't seen enough like research and things that would prove yes or no. I just haven't. You know, I've heard no, it wasn't, and yes, it was, and I haven't really seen much going on there, because a lot of the evidence they would come up with, you know, making a big deal about it, ended up being smoke and mirrors. So I don't know. You know, I really don't. I wouldn't be surprised, because I feel like both sides have taken part in that type of thing. You know, our politics these days, our politicians these days are almost like a mafia. So unlike other presidents and leaders from our past, the reasons are different, though. Trump was able to cultivate a cult-like following for his presidency, and it isn't something new to him. It was just a different industry, essentially, because he applied himself to the politics base, but he had already been in, you know, business. And I say industry on purpose because at this point, our government is, well, it's kind of an industry in its own right, don't you think? And it shouldn't be. It should not be. It's not. I don't agree with that. It shouldn't be like a CEO running a company. That's not how it should necessarily work. I mean, after all, we are a quote-unquote democracy, right? Trump is made for politics like Klaus Schwab is made for the World Economic Forum. It started out when he was young. He was already a businessman, already making a name for himself, whether he created a business that completely freaking, you know, just got ruined and bombed, or an exclusive hotel, his name was out there. And in this country, that's really what counts, especially for winning an election. Once he had the fame, good and bad, he was off to the races. He isn't necessarily new to politics, but he hadn't really entertained himself in it like a budding campaign manager would. I mean, if I were as successfully renowned as Trump, I'm not sure I would either, because, you know, politics sucks. Unless I needed something to change, change government policy somehow. That's usually how it works, right? Lobbyists. Even then, it's a hired hand and companies that lobby on your behalf. So, you know, I can't say I know Trump did that type of thing anyway, like that type of cheat code. But if he didn't, I'm sure his dad did. I mean, keep in mind, that's a legal method in America for getting your way. Don't hate the player, hate the game. Trump was a name you heard in rap songs, a name you heard in real estate mogul conversations, a name prevalent in entrepreneur magazines, and more recently, podcasts. He was interviewed time and time again about his bankruptcy woes, only to be thrown to the wolves whenever politicians were involved. Politicians have a history with this because every relationship has strings. Politicians just pull these strings for the appropriate outcome. The more strings you have, the better your chances of succeeding and getting the outcome you desired. Keep in mind, guys, I've never worked in the White House. I don't have an affiliation with anybody that does work in the White House. I'm not a journalist. This is literally just me, my takeaways, what I've learned through different, you know, research and all that crap. You know what I mean? I'm just a pleb. So let me just keep that, make sure you guys understand that. But when it comes to Trump, these strings were clearly from D.C. to the mainstream media, right? He would just fake news this, fake news that. So clearly, they ended up showing us their true colors. And, you know, really, they just ended up showing us their contradictions very, very, very clearly. You know, I don't know. Compare it to the freaking cigarette commercials that told you that cigarettes were good for you, because it was that blatant. But even in that time, you don't know that it's that blatant, right? So, you know, hindsight's 20/20, I guess, or whatever. So, I'm gonna turn my phone on Do Not Disturb because it is blowing up and it's pissing me off. So, but what's actually good for you is using a service like EveryPlate. I use EveryPlate to get all my food for the week delivered right to my door every Monday at about 2 p.m. But aren't you at work, Sky? What happens if the food goes bad? Well, they pack all your fresh goodies in a nice foil-lined box stuffed with big freezer bags that keep your meat, veggies, and ingredients lemony fresh, except without the lemons. I'll have a link in the podcast episode description for you to get $20 off your first box, and you can cancel or skip a week any time, or just completely skip or cancel the whole freaking thing. I don't care. You can. There's no contract. Okay, just get it. See if you like it. It's freaking awesome. I love it. I skip weeks every once in a while when I'm out of town. It doesn't give you a head high like cigarettes, but you might get addicted to it. I know I have. There have always been some similarities between a cult leader and a regular leader. The differences only lie in what they promise. See. They both have charisma for the job and, for the most part, know how to lead a crowd. And the reason I'm going into this, guys, is because I was kind of comparing Trump to, you know, he cultivated this cult-like following, right? So and I say cult-like. Trust me, I'm not saying that anyone that likes Trump is a part of a cult. I'm not one of these people. I don't do that because that's really not true. Of course, like Elon says, there's 10% on each side that are just extreme, and that's just how it ends up going. And that's who we hear from the most. So that's why I have this freaking podcast. Anyway, they both have charisma for the job and, for the most part, know how to lead a crowd. They both offer solutions to common problems in order to gain your trust. But this is about where they stop. A cult will require you to follow small, often odd rules just to maintain the idea that you're not the leader, leading to punishment for certain small things like drinking all of the milk or, you know, whatever it is. I'm not sure what David Koresh did in his camp thing, commune, whatever you want to call it, but I know, you know, it would be like, oh, you did this, you know, you're punished or some crap, I don't know, or you have to go to timeout, whatever it was, dude. And I know I keep looking up, guys. I know that I have a screen up here that shows me. it's my camera angle, so I know it's still working, because right now this is kind of a janky setup. So yeah. Yeah, but a cult will require you to follow these small rules. Now, a normal leader will probably help you solve your problems while letting you know how you failed. A normal good leader. So beyond that, there's not normally a grand finale that's mentioned. So anyway, but what I will say is there are some grand finales, like in these different leaders that I have. Here's a couple of examples. Let me just do this. There's a couple of examples. Generals lead to war. The grand finale is winning the war. Presidents lead a country. The grand finale is dystopia or or a better future. You know, I don't really think they want dystopia, but the grand finale, I was just a joke. The grand finale is a better future, which might be the furthest one from a real cult, because, I mean, a better future, everyone wants that. That's not really a grand finale. I think everyone just could agree they want a better future. Then you have David Koresh. The grand finale was an ascent to heaven, right? Well-known cults use something like this almost every time. You can watch plenty of Netflix freaking documentaries on this subject if you really want to get into that. I kind of got into that for a second there, and I don't know. I had to get out of it. It was kind of sucking my life away there. It's like probably Girls in True Crime or something like that. Anyway. But you might be thinking, what the heck is the difference between Trumpism and a cult? I think it's the freedom. The last attribute that I didn't mention separating a cult from a normal hierarchy is free will. Trump did not keep you from going about your daily life or punish you for taking the last bit of milk out of the household. Neither has any other president, for that matter. This is not exclusive to Trump. This is just exclusive to presidency. So that's just how it works. American presidency, I should say. He had enough charisma and fame to bring you in, and his grand finale, from what he said anyway, was draining the swamp. So why did that fail? This is speculation on my part. This is kind of what I think. But the swamp was a lot bigger than he was prepared to handle. Maybe the people he trusted couldn't handle the burden. So if he brought someone in that he thought could help him, decided, nah, this is crazy, after they got in. Maybe the agencies he thought were with him were lobbied. Maybe they were lobbied. Maybe they were bribed. Or maybe they realized their own agency would really be changed forever. Like, say, if it's a secretary, head of defense, or whatever, you know, maybe he or she was like, oh, I can't do this. I actually can't remember who it was, to be honest with you. So, sorry, I'm just trying to get through this monologue. Anyway, the only agency that I'm not questioning in my own research at this point, from all this stuff, you know, in any presidency, any government problem we have, any policy, in politics in general, the only agency that I'm not questioning, the only government agency, I should say, is USPS. And even then, I'm kind of skeptical. When it comes to this kind of stuff, I am very willing to listen to all different opinions and ideas. A conspiracy theorist, as it were. But the strings were pulled. Trump gave into the COVID narrative, and that's where I think this fails. So when he gave into the COVID narrative and overall lost his base and hadn't even tried to gain a new one, or new parts that he hadn't gotten before and bring them to his base, Trump was used to business. And where you're swaying, so in business, you're swaying people one conference at a time, you know, not a melting pot of a country, you know. And I say conference room, one conference room at a time. At this, like a table, like this podcast table, you know, you have eight people there and you're like, hey, you guys should accept my proposal. You know, sometimes it's just you and another person playing golf. You know, Trump loved golf. Of course he did. So, you know, it's not the all of America. That's what I'm trying to say. That's where I go with that. But in order to please a whole country, it's now more apparent than ever that you need to be an independent or center on the political spectrum, in my opinion. Since that's impossible for a human, because that would require no bias or predisposition, it comes down to the specific policies they will agree with and follow, right? Because, you know, I can't be morally unbiased going into this. I would say that I'm center, right? And my co-host, when he's on here, Maddie B, is on the right. I might be center-right, I guess. But there are some things that I think we could change that, you know, are a little bit socialist in nature as far as where they came from. But I think there's ways we could apply it that doesn't make it a socialist idea. So that's what I feel about that. You know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to go ahead and take this thing down. There we go. So I don't look up at it all the time. I need to be looking at you guys. Anyway, we settled for democracy. The point is, the GOP needs Trumpism, but they may not need Trump. You see, GOP has been struggling forever to become a cult classic, so to speak. You know, they've been struggling to get involved in culture. That's all I'm really trying to say. Democrats have been doing this forever. Liberals in general do this. They be actors, they be actresses, they be, you know, what they want. They do creative things. They'll be, you know, singers and songwriters and musicians and all of these things. And it used to be liberals were almost the opposite of governance, you know. And of course, now we're seeing a difference. Liberals are no longer the opposite of governance. Well, true liberals still are, Exhibit A, but others are really not. So what happens now? What happens now? You know, I think it's business as usual. Roe versus Wade being turned over. It hasn't been done yet, guys. Just keep that in mind. Everyone's freaking out. It's yet to be seen until June or July at least. It would mark one of the first big legal precedents in history, catering to the left, changing in the right's favor. So far in America's short time, being a free, semi-democratic country, the political spectrum just keeps slowly moving to the left every time a new democratic ideology or policy makes its way to the top and ultimately passes as a dumbed-down version of the original proposal. This phenomenon is actually discarded by several big names. But even if it's not exactly moving, it's certainly changing in the left's favor over time. Just look at the political spectrum from 1940 to 1960 or even to 1980 and then compare it to now, and you'll see that over time, the GOP's tolerance, quote-unquote, has been their downfall. Now, I don't know if you should be like very, very freaking just not going to happen, get the heck out of here. You need to talk and exchange ideas to better yourself and to better humankind. Communication is definitely key. You can't just shut someone off. But GOP's tolerance isn't just a personality trait. GOP's tolerance comes from money exchanging hands in the form of lobbyists and bribes and backdoor deals. And all of a sudden, they tolerate something, right? This is all politicians. This is not one side or the other. If the GOP doesn't actually seize the opportunity to regain its presence when the red wave comes in midterms, it will just be another round of the pendulum striking 12 and back to the other side we go. Controlling the House and the Senate is all fine and dandy, but if you can't find a balance between Trumpism and conservatism mixed with independent open-mindedness, we will not progress past the woke gender ideologies we find ourselves in today. This has been the monologue for midterms, and if you like what you heard, please pick one of the following: like, share, or subscribe. If you leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the Toasty Podcast Facebook page, you'll get a free toasty tea. Good morning, good afternoon, good night. Stay toasty.
Life's not fair and I'm here for that. See what I seem to be back for that. Learn as I go, just an act for that. Back for that. But this ain't one of them boom boom paps, and this ain't one of them smash collabs, and I go hard like smash and grab, it's a beer. Yeah. Now all I want to do is make clear that all I'm trying to do is rap, but not like one of them mumble queers, cause all they seem to know is rap. You notice how I switch the flow for y'all? Just to see y'all clap. Look, when it comes down to it, I'll get right down to it. Yeah.
Toasty.